God is good, amen? That was a little weak. Let's try that again. God is good.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. He is indeed. He is indeed. Brothers and sisters, time always seems to have a way of fleeting. And even though we got a fair amount of time, I look at the clock now and wonder if I'm going to be able to share with what God has put on my heart today. He's changed up my sermon schedule, I'll have you know. He's changed it up again. You remember last week what we talked about? Who remembers? What did we talk about? Yeah, we're talking about this whole idea of gifts and fruit bearing. And so I told you last week that in this sermon series, we're going to get to a point where we look at the parable of the talents. Well, guess what? We've arrived there today. And so we're going to look at the parable of the talents, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Let me ask you something, and I'll take answers, or I'll take your hands. Do you believe that God's real? You think, Jim, that's a ridiculous question. I mean it. Do you believe that God is real?
Yes.
Does your faith show it day by day?
Yes.
That's a little tougher to answer, isn't it?
Yes.
Good. Good. Because I believe He's real. And I believe He's still in the miracle working business. I believe the same God that called the 13-year-old shepherd boy to take on a Goliath that's 9 feet, a seasoned veteran, is the same God that challenges us today. I believe the same God that showed miracles in that little boy's life to take on that massive mountain of a man is the same God that does miracles today. And He calls us by faith, friends, to walk this pathway called life, by faith in Him, the mountain mover. I believe it's the same God. And so that's why I ask you this morning, I want to challenge your thinking. Does your faith show that we really believe He's a mountain mover? I'm going to share with you a couple of verses from Luke 21, then I'm going to the parable of the talents. There's a method behind my madness this morning, so bear with me. Luke 21, NIV, verses 1 through 4. As He looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, He said, Jesus said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Do you, brothers and sisters, have that kind of faith that comes to the altar and puts in your last 2 copper coins, not trusting in those copper coins for today or tomorrow's meal or tomorrow's light bill, but trusting in the living God because you're giving Him all you've got? That's the kind of faith she had. And Jesus said she put in more than everybody else. You see, He didn't need the copper coins. He don't need my copper coins. He wants the attitude I will give to Him first. That's the attitude she had. She gave it all. You say, Jim, what's got that got to do with talents? Let's turn to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, Jesus is referring to the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, when you start in Matthew 25 at the first verse, you'll see those very words. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he gets down to verse 14, and he begins a new parable. And like I said, I had saved this, I had thought in my mind, this was the last part of my sermon series on gifts I was going to talk about to challenge us in this way, what will I do with my talents? But God has rearranged my sermon schedule, so we're looking at it now. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14 says, and again, it will be like, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. This is God entrusting and imputing in you and I, followers of Christ, something good. a spiritual gift or finances or whatever it is. This is what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey who called together his people and he trusted his, remember whose property it is? His property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. You see, friends, God has blessed us in America with a blessing like nobody else on earth knows. God has blessed people that have come to know Christ with a spiritual gift. He has blessed churches in America and now around other parts of the world to minister to others in our own communities, yes, but also around the world. Just like he said, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey. He has entrusted us with his goods. And he's asked us as individuals, Jim, and all the rest of us as individuals and a church, what will you do with my goods for the kingdom of God? 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents, he brought another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. You see, friends, the good news about this person is he still remembers whose talent it was. It was the steward's. It was God's. He was asked to be a steward of it. I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would not have received it. I would have received it back with interest. And before I go any further, let me just say to us today, God is saying to us, you should have put your talent to work. Regardless of what it is. That's what he is challenging us as individuals. That's what he has challenged us as a church. Take the talent, verse 28 says, from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, friends, we could spend a whole lot of time on those verses alone. We don't have a whole lot of time. The point of those verses is this. God will call us to account for the gifts he has blessed us with. Me, you, the church, believers all over. God will call us to account. What have you done with what I've trusted you with? The reason I wanted to share this sermon today, I really wanted to share it at the end of the series to challenge us for a final challenge, what will we do with the gift we've been blessed with? That final challenge, and I may still use it, because a month from now you may have forgotten what I said anyway. But I wanted to challenge us and propel us. Are we going to bury our talent in the sand? Are we going to put it to use for the kingdom of God as individuals and as a church? Are we going to bury it and just wonder what might have been because I never used it? I never put what God has entrusted to me to service for Him. Are we just going to wonder what might have been in our individual lives and as a church? But as I mentioned, God rearranged my sermon series. After receiving an important email this week, it was some weeks ago. I've shared it with the board and with Marie. And we've prayed about it. We've wondered about it. Did I ask you, do you really believe He does miracles? Did I mention that? What'd you say? Good. Did I ask you, do you believe He answers prayer? I believe He does. I got a lot of notes and I don't have a lot of time. I'm wondering, friends, if we're going through life as individuals and as a church, like the guy that was given 5 talents, 2 or 1. I'm wondering how that's playing out for you as individuals. How's that playing out in our lives? Have we buried it in the sand? Just kind of take that conservative, cautious approach? I'm just wondering that for us as a family of believers. Did I mention I got an email? I got an email from Brother Salek. You know Brother Salek, right? Most of you know Brother Salek. Anybody here not know Brother Salek? Some of you maybe have never met him, because some of you may have not been here the times that he's been here. Got an email from Brother Salek. Got a lot of emails from Pastor Salek the last few days. And you know that I had in the bulletin just a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I had mentioned he was going to Pakistan. I put that in the bulletin. Remember that? I said he's going to move his family back to Pakistan, right back into the lion's den. He's a Pakistani man, born in a Pakistani home, come to Denver, founded a church, was the pastor there, turned it over to somebody else, and began to feel this call to go find other churches in America to help support him to go back and minister to the people in Pakistan. So that's what he's been doing for these few years. But now God has called him back to Pakistan to live there, to be there in the lion's den, if you will. You remember the statistics. 97% of Pakistanis are Muslims. He wants to encourage the Christians, and he wants to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the people of Pakistan. That's where he came from. And God has put it on his heart to go back there and do what he has called him to do. And he's been praying about this. And he's been asking God. He said, God, I know that you want me to go back to Pakistan. I know that you want us there, but I don't know how you're going to help us with this, because financially we're not able to do this. You see, he has no home to sell here. He has no stocks. He has no bonds. He has no 401ks. He's put his faith in the living God from week to week. Sure, he had a salary when he was a pastor there, but he's got 4 little babies now too. And he's willing to pick them all up and take them back to Pakistan to live there among the people and tell them there's good news and his name is Jesus. That's what God has called him to do. But he's been asking God, don't know how we're going to do this, Lord, financially. And so he sent me an email the other day that I'm going to read to you. And bear in mind 2 things. Number one, he sent this email because God has laid it on his heart to send the email. I talked to him after getting 2 or 3 emails. I needed to call him. I needed to hear his voice. I needed to hear from him his heart. So number one, he sent this email knowing he had sought the face of God, and God's answer was, send this one to Motley. I don't know what the other pastors got in the other congregations. I just know this. We are the largest congregation he visits. Might be a little mind-boggling, but we're the largest one. Number two, the second reason, or the second point that he sent this email, he said to me personally, and he said it, but he didn't say it in the email, he said this to me personally. He said, I know that I am asking Motley Free Methodist Church to be like the widow with just two mites left to her name. I know that. But that's what God has asked me to do. Here's his email. Dear Pastor Jim, regarding our move to Pakistan, we're ready to move. That's what he said to me on the phone the other day too. We're ready to go. But we have very little money right now in our hands. But I know that our Lord can multiply this little into much. We're believing the Lord. You see, friends, his faith is in the Lord from day to day. He's sitting there waiting to go to Pakistan as soon as the funds arrive. He's going. He's like the Old Testament Paul. He lives on faith from week to week to week. He's not planning 401ks. He's planning about people coming to Christ tomorrow. And so he's sitting there, and I know that you strategic planners and you financial gurus think this might be less than perfect. But he is going by faith. I was reading an email. We are believing the Lord for some one-time large gifts that can help us make this move. We need $70,000 to make this move, even though we need a lot more than that to buy a house over there. But we need it for airfare and down payments and moving. And $70,000 will help us initially to make a down payment on the home and the cover, as I mentioned, airfare and other expenses. You haven't fallen asleep on me, have you? Good. Now listen to this. I want to ask you and the board of your church that if it is possible for you to send a large gift of $50,000 or more so that we can make this move. I hope you and your church leadership won't mind the audacity in me making this request. This is a big amount, I know. But I want you to know that this gift will be a great instrument in bringing forth a huge harvest of souls in the coming years in Pakistan. Thank you so much for taking a stand with us and expanding God's kingdom in the Muslim world. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you richly. Salik. You know what I thought? I thought the brother put in one too many zeros. I know what you're feeling because I felt the same thing the first time I read it. And so gather up your false teeth that have fallen out, get back on your chairs, and ponder for a moment, what is God asking of us? The Free Methodist Church, with only a couple hundred pretty ordinary folks in a pretty small town in a pretty ordinary part of America. It's a lot of zeros. And I thought the brother perhaps had a typo. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, I would love to entertain your thoughts, but we've got 5 minutes left, and I got 25 minutes worth of comments. So I tell you, friends, where we're at. My heart says this is a test from God, from the Free Methodist Church. We have the money. We have the money, and some of it is in building account, and some of it is money that we have gotten from the Free Methodist Church of North America to start this church a whole long time ago, thanks to the diligent and faithful work of Dr. Rose, who put together a grant and suggested to the Free Methodist Church, we'd like to have a full-time pastor. And to do it, we'd like to have this grant that you're offering up to only two churches in all of America. It's a long story. I don't have time to tell that. We got the grant. $25,000 came to Motley Free Methodist Church from the Free Methodist Church of North America, so that we could propel into the future with a full-time pastor, because I was still bivocational for the first 3.5 years. He has given us everything we need. Some of you don't know this story. We bought this building and everything around us for $5,000. Some of you don't know that story. God has given us everything we need. Maybe He hasn't given us everything we want, because I'd like a bigger church too. But He has given us everything we need. And I am compelled over these last 2 weeks to come to you, friends, with this. God is asking Jim, the shepherd of this church, and He's asking you to be a part of this. The board and I have prayed about this, and we've talked about it, and we say, we're going to invite you to be part of this. Do we trust Him as God or not? Or do we just trust what we can see in our billfolds? Do we trust Him as a God who moves mountains? You say, Jim, I think you flipped your wig. You might be right. Jim, I think you're crazy. Matter of fact, I think you're so crazy, I'm not sure I'm going to hang around here if you're going to ask for $50,000 for requests for people just willy-nilly here and there. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. If you decide as a congregation, this is something we should do because God has called us to it, and you do it, you better hang around to see what God's going to do next. You better hang around to see what the Master is going to do next. I believe I would not be wasting your time this morning or mine asking you to be part of this. I believe this is of God. I know there's questions. I know there's skepticism. The board and I have had it. We have had questions. We got endless questions. I believe this is asking us to take a step in the God of all creation, who asked 3 Hebrew boys to walk into the fire and said, I'll be there with you. Who asked that 13-year-old boy to take on that Goliath, I'll be there with you. I believe we serve a God, friends, that is real, that until we take these large steps of faith, we're only going to know Him in a limited way because we have only given Him a limited part of us. The board of administration and I have decided we're going to help him anyway to some degree. Not sure what that is yet. We've got over $100,000 put away. We're planning to build a building. But I believe God is saying to me and to you, our board, and to you, our church family, whether you're a member or not, you're our church family. Do you trust me or not? Do you believe that I'm real? Do you believe that I have the entirety of the universe in my hands? Do you believe that all the blessings that you've got have come from me? That's what he's asking me. And I think the answer is yes. I think that God has given us everything we have needed over these 10 years I've been here. 6 full-time, 4 bivocational. I believe he has given us everything we have needed. Mark Adams asked me when I sat down with him, he's our superintendent, he asked me the other day when I talked about we have 2 major goals that I am aware of. One is a building project, one is an assistant pastor. They both cost money. He said, Jim, do you have the finances? I said, we have what we need because God knows what he can trust us with. And I believe, friends, if we take some of this monies, yes, some of it setting the building fund. That's why we are asking your permission, and I'm going to give you a ballot to vote in just a moment. Yes or no, that's simple. We want your permission. We want your buy-in. We want you to feel part of this. We are commissioning a modern-day Paul into the world of the Gentiles to go and win souls for Jesus. As Dave Busho and I were talking about the other day, the brother isn't here today because he's sick, but he said, that's what it's all about, Jim. It's about souls coming to Jesus. It isn't about Jim. It isn't about the Free Methodist Church of Motley or even about Salek. It's about souls in eternity with Christ because somebody said, I'll go and I'll tell them about Jesus. That's what it's about. And so we're asking your permission this morning, friends, because we know some of this has been set aside as building fund monies. Salek knows that too. I told him that. I said, you realize, brother, that that's a lot of money. Yeah, he said, I realize that. I said, you realize, brother, we ain't that big a church. Yeah, I realize that too. But he said, that's the figure that God put on my heart to ask you. And so that's the figure I'm asking you, friends, to approve today. If you don't, we'll trust that's from the Lord. But Bob and a couple of other ushers are going to pass you out a ballot. And we're going to invite you to vote. And I know this isn't a whole lot of time to think about it, ask questions, or ponder about it. But believe me, the board and I have thought about it and prayed about it and pondered it and lost sleep over it and trusted in the living God over it. And we've come to you this morning and say, will you be part of commissioning this brother that we know so well? Bob and Craig, go ahead. Come on up here and start distributing these. As soon as they've distributed them, they're going to come around with baskets and they're going to pick them up. It's really quite simple. You can read the little statement on there and you can answer yes or no. But we're asking you, they're all in there. Split those up and then pass them out together, would you please? Craig, give these guys some so they can help pass them out too. We're asking you today, will you agree with us? This is of God. Yeah, we'd like to have a new building. Yeah, we'd like to have more space. Yeah, we'd like to help this missionary or that a little more. We're already helping missionaries. You know that. You've read the reports. Or at least I think most of you have. We're helping people in our own communities. Last year we helped to the tune of nearly $8,000 in our own community. And I believe this is a test from God for two reasons. Number one, because we've had this part of this fund in the ground, so to speak, for a good long time. And number two, I believe that God has something big and wonderful and mind-boggling in store for you, the people of Motley Free Methodist Church. If we will exercise faith in Him, the living God. So praise team, I understand you've got a special music for us. Come and play that for us. We're going to give you just a minute or two to ponder this while our praise team sings this last song. You see, the reason I didn't open this up, friends, is because we'd be here all day. Either we're going to take a step of faith or we aren't. It's really quite that simple. And the reason I didn't say, well, we'll gather them up next week, because... Oh, those empty, those blanks? Let's keep the blanks separate. There you go. Is because Pastor Salek, as his letter stated, said, we are ready to go to Pakistan. We're simply waiting upon God for the funds. We are believing the Lord for some one-time large gifts. We're ready to move. And I know this is a test of faith. I know this is stretch, but friends, when you really start to think about it like I have for the last couple, 3 weeks, the verses start flooding through your mind. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt and thieves do break through and steal. The widow and the two mites, the buried talents, and on and on and on the verses come flooding through my mind. And so, brothers and sisters, it just excites me to think that God has challenged us this way, because He's got something in mind for us too. Not only about winning souls in Pakistan, but for us. And just as soon as the second service is over, three or four board members are going to count these, and we're going to know today. We're going to know today if we together, the Motley Free Methodist Church, are going to be behind this brother in this endeavor in a very large way. I realize that. In a very, very large way. Or we're not. We're going to know today, and we will let you know today. We'll send you email if you've got one. It'll be on Facebook. We'll talk about it tonight at our Courageous. We will let you know today what the Motley Free Methodist Church has decided to do.
in helping spread the good news amongst the people in Pakistan. Take it away.
This last song is called Lead Me to the Cross, and I believe on Wednesday at prayer time, the Lord, this isn't something that this group has practiced very much, and that's why I didn't ask everyone to get up here, but I really believe the Lord laid this on my heart because I knew this was coming down too, and it's got beautiful words saying, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Lead me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me. And I believe that is perfect for this message and for this time. So we're going to sing it. Savior, I come. Quiet my soul.
We've been challenged today by Scripture that reminds us if we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has blessed us with a talent to be used for His glory and His kingdom. We're challenged today as a church. Where will God take us by faith in Him? And maybe He's challenged you as an individual. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just saying, Jim, I don't have that kind of faith. Rest in Him, friends. Trust in Him. He's real. He sent His Son to die for our souls. But not just ours in America. Souls around the globe. And so if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, start there. Trust Him as Lord. And if you have and you're saying, Jim, I'm just really struggling in this whole faith thing, lay it down before Him. Ask Him to help you in your faith. You and I sometimes were like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help Thou my unbelief. Sometimes that's where we're at. Cry out to Him and let Him minister to you and show Himself strong to you so your faith only grows in Him. Dan Rose, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, as we come before Your cross, Lord, we look up and we see that empty cross. And it reminds us of what You have done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, bless us. Bless this congregation. I pray this day that Sally, Lord God, You would bless him. Give him a peace that passes all understanding.
Mm-hmm.